Hey guys, welcome back. This is episode 16 of my real estate investing series. And in celebration of my 30th birthday, which I celebrated this September, this episode is going to be my top 30 real estate tips. And I'm dividing it into 15 tips for buyers and 15 tips for sellers. So stay tuned, I'm covering everything here. Thank you guys for being here for another episode of my real estate investing series. I hope that this episode is a really interesting one for you guys. I think it will be. Before I jump in and get started, I just wanted to ask that if you guys are enjoying this content, please share it with anyone who you think might be interested in real estate. A lot of real estate agents that I know have been enjoying this content as well, and they've been sharing it around, which I really truly appreciate so much. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and give the videos that you enjoy a thumbs up. This helps YouTube know to recommend the series to more people. And if you are listening on the podcast, please subscribe to the podcast and leave the podcast a great review. That also will help the podcast players know to recommend this content. That is so helpful to me because when my content is recommended to more viewers, it helps this channel grow. And at the end of the day, my goal is to provide this free New York City-based real estate information to as many people as possible to help you guys achieve your goals. So I really, really appreciate your support. Thank you so much in advance. So jumping right in, I have my top 30 real estate tips. I really thought long and hard about what to include in this episode. And because I know that there are so many different kinds of people listening to this content, some people who are interested in buying, some people who are interested in selling, and some people who are actually real estate agents who are working on different sides of many different transactions, I figured that it would make the most sense to provide 15 of my top tips for buyers who are looking to purchase real estate and 15 of my top tips for sellers who are looking to sell their apartments. So here we go. I'm going to start with tips for buyers. Tip number one has to do with your credit score. You may or may not know that your credit score makes a huge difference in whether or not you're going to be approved for a mortgage loan. And not only does it determine if you're going to get approved for a mortgage loan, because if your credit score is iffy, you can still get approved for a mortgage loan. But what it does affect is your interest rate. So really what you never want to do is pay a higher rate on interest than you have to. Ultimately, you'd be paying more money every month when you don't have to. So what I recommend to people who have iffy credit scores or low credit scores is before you actually go and get approval for your mortgage, you want to consult with someone, whether it's a lender that focuses on this or a finance professional, who can actually increase your credit score. You may not have known that this is possible, but there are many ways that you can increase your credit score very quickly. The first thing and the most obvious thing to do is to just simply pay off credit card balances. This gets your credit score up significantly and very, very quickly. Like within your next month's statement, your score might have gone up. Additionally, I have contacts that I work with very often at different banks that provide loans, but also do this all the time with respect to increasing credit scores. Essentially, the takeaway here is that you have plenty of options. So if you think that your credit score is what is holding you back from being able to make a purchase, please explore those options because that can be easily fixed. If you would like personal help or a personal referral for who to work with on that, just let me know, contact me, email me, and I'll get you to the right person. Tip number two. When you are looking to place an offer on a property, you really want your initial offer to not be too far away from the price you ultimately want to end up paying for the apartment. So you discuss with your buyer's agent, with your real estate agent, who's working with you to make the purchase, what the fair price of the property would be and what a good discounted price would be to get the property for, and that's your goal price. And when you place your initial offer, you don't want to place your initial offer too far away from your goal price. The goal is to place actually as high of an offer as you can while still leaving yourself room to come up to your goal price. That way your initial offer doesn't offend the seller. It'll actually excite the seller into thinking that they have a really serious buyer here, and they will engage with you quickly, and you'll start the transaction negotiation in good faith. You'll have both sides really engaged, and it's the best way to net out at your ultimate goal. The worst thing I see people do is, for example, if they want to get $50,000 off on a property, they place their initial offer $100,000 low in an attempt to come up halfway. That is not a strategic way to negotiate, and you never want to do that. Tip number three, many buyers want to continue looking at properties until they happen to find one that is for some crazy reason priced way lower than the other similar comps, and they're going to get a crazy steal. Every buyer wants a steal. However, properties that are priced way below market price or whatever you would expect the property to sell for is doing that for a reason. So firstly, worst case scenario is you may find that there's actually something wrong with the property. Once you get into looking at the building and looking at the financials, you'll probably learn that there's some catastrophic reason why the property was priced the way it was, and you may end up questioning whether you want it to begin with. If that doesn't happen, then another reason why properties might be priced very low is they're using a specific pricing strategy that I call event pricing. And essentially what that means is they are purposely pricing the property too low to get a ton of interest. Their first open house is probably going to be bombarded by people, or they're going to have an extremely packed week of showings, and they're going to get so much traffic that all the other potential buyers are going to be aware that this property is in high demand, and it's going to create a bidding war situation where everyone wants the property, and you'll end up fighting other buyers until the property comes up to market price or higher. So heads up, if you find a property that you think is priced too good to be true, just know what is in front of you and ahead of you, and please have your buyer's agent look into the reasons why it might be priced the way it is, and have them negotiate strategically for you so that you win the property without getting strung up too far in a bidding war. Tip number four, there are so many ways that you can save money in a real estate transaction that don't involve simply driving up the asking price and risking losing the property to a competing buyer. The real estate agent working for the seller is always going to want to try to sell the property for the highest possible price. That's their job, and it's essentially a career achievement to sell a property for asking price or higher. So as a buyer, if you want a better chance at being engaged with by the seller and their real estate agent, you want to find ways to get money back on the transaction that don't involve just chipping away at the asking price. You can ask the seller to cover your mansion tax, or if the apartment needs a renovation, you can ask for a closing credit from the seller to do the renovation that you want to do. These closing credits come to you as actual cash in a lump sum at the closing table, and everyone wins because you get cash back, and the seller's agent and the seller can say they sold their home for a full asking price. So it's definitely a really great option to look into if you're thinking about a smart way to save money. On a similar note to that, we have tip number five, which is if you are cutting it close on cash, and let's say you're really trying to maximize your down payment and you want to buy the most expensive property that you can afford at this time, you can consider financing a little bit more than you additionally planned for. So for example, let's say you have a hefty down payment to cover and closing costs are also expensive, and you want the benefit of getting some cash back to help you with those costs. Depending on the property price, you can, for example, get a mortgage for, let's say, $20,000 more than you originally planned to. That's hardly any money per month once you work the $20,000 into that overall mortgage payment. and this will allow you to offer $20,000 more for the property. And then when you're submitting your offer, your buyer's agent will communicate to the seller that you're looking for a $20,000 closing credit to be received at the closing table for you. And ultimately, right there, you got yourself $20,000 in cash that you're getting on the day of closing, and you're barely gonna feel it because it's going to be paid back in your mortgage loan, which is going to be a nominal amount of extra money that you'll pay each month. Tip number six, don't forget that a seller is not legally required to disclose certain issues about a property to you. This is a rule in real estate called caveat emptor, and it actually means buyer beware. Essentially, you as the buyer are responsible for finding defects in the property prior to purchasing. If the seller's agent is aware of an issue with the property, then they do have to disclose it to you, but neither the seller or their real estate agent are required to have an inspection done before listing the property for sale. So depending on the type of property that it is, there is a chance that there could be something wrong with the property that no one is aware of. So for this reason, you'll likely want to have an inspection done and also just be observant when you're looking at the property. When you're viewing the apartment, check the walls, check the ceilings, look for things that might look like water damage. Check underneath area rugs to make sure there's no damage on the floors, things like that. Tip number seven, this one sounds kind of crazy, but I swear it's true. And I tell this to all of my buyer clients as well. Once you sign your contract and enter into a formal agreement to purchase the property, just expect to immediately hate it and second guess it. This is completely psychological, and I see it happen all the time. It's almost like when you're dating someone and then you decide to make things official. You just, now that you're in a committed relationship, you just start to notice everything about the person that you don't like. It's just the way this always happens. So just keep in mind that it's natural and this is something that everyone experiences. So don't let it get to you. Don't let it worry you. Just go with the flow and focus on the end goal, and you will end up being happy with the property in the end. Tip number eight, with all of the shifts that have been happening in the market as a result of COVID, you really don't have to go far to get more space and a yard for a good value. Right now, properties in the suburbs have crazy demand and they're going for premium pricing, and we really don't know how long that's going to be the case. So I actually don't recommend paying a premium price for a property in the suburbs right now. And if you're in the city and if you like the city, what I recommend is looking closer to home, like Washington Heights or Brooklyn, where you can get a lot more space for a better value and even make your backyard dreams come true without overpaying or feeling like you have to go so far from where you're comfortable in the city. Tip number nine. An important strategy to keep in mind when you're considering real estate is a principle that Warren Buffett uses to describe how he invests in the stock market. You must be willing to act when other people are scared to, and not invest in something that everyone else is already really excited about. This kind of relates to the last tip I mentioned. Don't buy something at a premium just because everyone else is doing it, but rather make your financial decision in a place where people aren't looking at the moment and be strategic. Tip number 10. When you go out looking for a property, have an idea of your most important must-have features that need to be present in the property that you want to buy, but don't sweat your criteria too much. You can have an idea of your must-haves and your nice-to-haves, but don't overthink checking every single box, because truly what always ends up happening, and I work with a lot of buyers, and this is what always ends up happening, you walk into the right apartment, and you just know. You walk in and it just feels right, and you literally look at me and you're like, this is just the property that I'm gonna live in, and it doesn't meet all of my criteria, and it's actually, for some reason, very different than I thought it would be, but this is the one. And that's what always happens. And for that reason, I don't like to have my clients sweat their criteria too much. Instead, I say, let's look at as many things as we can see, or let's look at a really nice variety that have different pros and cons, and let's see what you end up naturally feeling you want. And it's really cool when that happens and you really do know. Tip number 11. If you want to make your offer more competitive without simply driving up the asking price of a property, consider putting more money down in cash and financing less. This minimizes the issues that are associated with the chance of getting a low appraisal on the property. I talk all about this in episode 14, and I really cannot emphasize enough how much of an issue this has been with COVID. For example, to put things really short and sweet, there are certain areas right now that are much more in demand than they were previously, whether it be because there's more space to be had or there's a little bit of private outdoor space. Things are now much more valuable to people than they were before. And because of that, certain properties are going for higher prices. And when appraisers who are sent from the banks to justify the price of the property before giving you a mortgage loan, when these people conduct appraisals, they look at prior transactions in the building. And the prior transactions are not always living up to the current market price based on demand. Because of that, we've had appraisals coming in low. The buyers don't really care because they still want the property, but they're not able to get their mortgage. So to sum it up in a nutshell, when you put down more than 20% of your purchase, you have many more options to get around this issue if it does happen to you. And in addition, you are 1,000 times more appealing to a seller because they know that if this issue happens, your back is not up against the wall and you're not going to walk away from the deal. And I know that the market is slow right now and people might not think that there are competitive environments when it comes to bidding for properties. There are. It's extremely competitive, especially in certain areas for certain kinds of properties. And therefore, if you are coming in with a down payment larger than 20% and you're offering less than a competing buyer who's only putting down 20%, there's a really good chance that you will still win that property. Tip number 12, be aware of and prepared for closing costs because they are expensive. I explained in episode 12 how closing costs can range significantly. The examples that I provided in episode 12 actually show how your closing costs could range from $3,400 to $42,000. And those examples are both on a property priced at $1 million. And I also explain in that episode exactly what affects your closing costs and what drives them up and down. So if that's something that you're interested in, definitely listen to episode 12. Tip number 13, don't let your pride get in between you and a successful negotiation. One of the most common things that I see are people falling over their sword over things that don't really matter in a negotiation for the sake of looking powerful or feeling like they won. Remember that a successful negotiation requires both sides to feel like they won and also gave up a little. And don't forget to keep your eyes on the real prize, which is getting the well-priced property. No one wins if your deal dies and you miss out on a good opportunity. Tip number 14, when you're looking at apartments, make sure that you're clear on the differences between a condo and a co-op and which property type works best for your needs. You can find out if you're a condo person or a co-op person by listening to episode 4 of this series. Spoiler alert, if you're considering renting your apartment out to a tenant, then you are definitely a condo person. Tip number 15, and our last tip for buyers. There are a lot of new developments and new condo buildings going up right now in Brooklyn and Manhattan. Keep in mind that when you purchase an apartment in a new development building, there are significant extra closing costs that you as the buyer are responsible for paying, and they can be up to 2% of the purchase price, which doesn't sound like much, but 2% is $20,000 on a $1 million property. So this is a lot of money, but those fees can be negotiated down if you are working with a competent buyer's agent. Episode 6 of this series has all of the details on sponsor sales, which is what a purchase in a new development building is called. Okay, that wraps up my 15 tips for buyers, and now I'm going to share my top 15 real estate tips for sellers. Tip number 1, Never accept an initial offer from a buyer. This also might kind of sound crazy, but psychologically, if you accept a buyer's initial offer, they are going to wonder if they offered too much money. They're going to think maybe their offer was already above your bottom line and they left money on the table. You really never want that to happen. So even if the initial offer is a price that you're comfortable with, counter by a couple of thousand dollars more. You really just never want the buyer to feel like they gave too much money in the initial, because it'll come back to bite you later. They'll feel like the property was too easy to win and they'll find things to nitpick about later. So it's not even worth it. Tip number two, similar but different, always respond to an offer from a buyer. Even if their offer is too low, you still want to counter. So differently from tip number one, let's say a buyer places an initial offer for your property and you think it's just ridiculously low. Like, you think this person must have no idea what's going on because they offered way too low for your property and you're honestly offended. My recommendation is, sometimes people just are uneducated and they don't realize how detrimental it is when they place a lowball offer that is too low. And instead of just sending them on their way, when there may actually be potential there, I always recommend countering, providing a counter offer, even if it's just a couple of thousand dollars lower than your initial asking price. At least the buyer will understand that you are not looking to come down by much, and they're either going to have to come up significantly to meet you at a fair price, or then they can be on their way. And if they go on their way, fine. But some people might just want to see what they can get away with and how desperate you really are. And by at least countering, you can communicate where you stand with the property, and it will at least get a dialogue going for you to potentially make a deal. Tip number three, if you're selling an apartment that is vacant, always stage it. Staging makes a huge difference, and it's counterintuitive, but a space always looks bigger once there is furniture in it. An empty apartment always looks smaller. It makes no sense, because you would think that a wide open empty space looks larger, but that is not the case at all. So always stage. It helps people to understand what fits in the space, and it helps people to picture living in the space. Tip number four, if you are selling an apartment that is fully furnished and your buyer is getting a mortgage, when it comes time for the appraisal, make sure that your real estate agent does not try to justify the sales price of the property to the bank by mentioning the value of the furnishings. Not many people realize this, but a bank will not give a buyer a loan for furnishings, like furniture or art in an apartment. The bank is only going to lend the buyer money for the actual real estate itself. So you really need that appraisal to come in at your contract price without including the value of the furnishings. So if the appraiser thinks that the contract price of the apartment is only attainable by including the value of the furnishings, your appraisal is going to come in low and there's going to be issues associated with that. So completely avoid it, and don't make any mention of the fact that an apartment is being sold furnished to the appraiser. And additionally, it is standard language in a contract when apartments are sold furnished, but you do just want to double check to make sure that your contract specifically states that the contract price of the apartment is just for the real estate and not the furnishings. Tip number five. There are three strategies for pricing your home when you list it for sale, and specific market environments when each strategy is appropriate. The three pricing strategies, as I like to call them, are aspirational pricing, perceived market pricing, and event pricing. Be sure that you are clear on each strategy and when to implement them. This really affects whether or not you will get the highest possible price for your home. Tip number six. Host as many open houses as you possibly can and have your home ready for a showing at any time, even last minute. You never want to turn a buyer away. Now with COVID, we haven't been doing public open houses, but when we are not in a pandemic, you do want to hold as many public open houses as possible. Many people who are casually browsing like to stop by a public open house without having to reach out personally or make an appointment with a real estate agent. And these people do often end up buying. Your real estate agent should be making it as easy as possible for the maximum amount of people to see the apartment. Tip number 7. Always opt for professional photos. A lot of sellers want to use photos that they already had taken of the apartment at one time or another, but professional pictures make a huge difference in how the quality of the apartment comes across to potential buyers. And now there are many things that we've been doing with high quality photos that you can't do with regular photography, like creating dedicated property websites just for your apartment that contain full resolution, extra large photos, and they really look stunning, and you need professional photos to be able to do that. Tip number 8. Respond promptly to any offers that come in from potential buyers. You really want to capture a potential buyer before they lose interest, especially given that most prospective purchasers are looking at several houses in one day. Not hearing back from a seller in a timely fashion puts a bad taste in the buyer's mouth. They wonder if the seller is serious, if they're going to be problematic to work with, and it'll turn them off immediately. It's just not the ideal way to begin a successful negotiation. So even if you're not thrilled with the offer, or if you are comparing multiple offers, you at least want to get back to your buyers with an update of some kind, whether it be a counter offer or even just a status update. Tip number 9, do not be present in your home during open houses or showings. Most prospective buyers do not want to insult the homeowner by providing their honest feedback on the apartment, but they will provide straightforward feedback to your real estate agent. This feedback is crucial to remedying any potential issues and getting the property sold as quickly as possible. Tip number 10, be honest with your real estate agent. Some sellers are not straightforward with their real estate agent about the lowest price they would be comfortable selling for because they think that the agent won't work as hard to get them a price above their bottom line. However, if you are working with a good seller's agent, they are always going to fight for the highest possible price for you, and of course, they're gonna shoot way higher than your bottom line. They're going to negotiate for as close to your asking price as possible. I have seen sellers lose buyers that were willing to come up to a price that the seller would have actually been okay with, but it never came to fruition because the seller and their agent were not on the same page. You need to work with an agent who you trust, who is going to be ruthless and negotiate for you to get the highest possible price for your home. But you also really do need to be honest with them about your numbers. Tip number 11. If you decide to make any upgrades to your home prior to selling it, make sure that those upgrades are as generic as possible. Though you may love bold colors or neat patterned wallpaper, unique designs are going to be distracting and may not resonate with potential buyers. Your best option is to make your home a clean slate and let people reimagine it however they like. In that same vein, do an honest audit of your home before you put it on the market. And if you're able to, try to make it as impersonal as possible. So remove your personal belongings, remove your family photographs, remove anything that is very unique to you, and try to just appeal to everyone. Tip number 12, the kitchen is one of the most important features in the home. And it's also the room that people are most intimidated to renovate because there's a lot that goes into it. If you choose to upgrade one thing in your home before listing, make it the kitchen. An older kitchen really dates an apartment. Not only will a renovated kitchen make the entire apartment feel more modern, but it will ensure that it sells more quickly, and it'll also be the biggest determining factor in the price that your home sells for. Tip number 13. lighting is very important. If you have bulbs that are burned out or low wattage bulbs that emit yellow light, replace them all with daylight bulbs and immediately your home will look so crisp and so bright. Before showings, open up your curtains and allow as much natural light as possible to flow in. Tip number 14, storage space is something that you can never get enough of, and it's important for potential buyers to be able to appreciate the closet space you have in the apartment. If your closets are overstuffed, empty them out and place your personal items somewhere else so that your potential buyers can see the depth of your closets and feel like the space doesn't quickly reach maximum capacity. And finally, tip number 15, selling a home is one of the most emotional processes that you can go through. If you want to get the most money for your home and reach your next goal quickly and efficiently, it's best to keep emotions out of the transaction and focus on the end goal. Understand that the buyer is just as nervous as you may be and try to be empathetic. Also, keeping in mind the financial reasons behind why it makes sense for you to sell will make it easier for you to think of yourself as a business person as you manage the sale, which will help you look at things less personally. Make sure you're working with an agent who understands you and really considers your needs so you feel that you have a teammate and someone to lean on. And that wraps up my 30 top real estate tips for buyers and sellers. I hope that you guys found this episode helpful and interesting. If you liked this episode, please share it with your friends, with your family, with anyone who you think might find it valuable. And please, again, I urge you guys to subscribe to the podcast or subscribe to the YouTube channel and give these episodes a thumbs up or a positive review. Anything that you can do to help this channel do well, I immensely appreciate. It's been so cool since I started this series to see how many people are setting themselves up for financial success in the future by making intelligent real estate investment decisions today. Thank you guys so much for listening to episode 16. Stay tuned for the next episode. I'll see you guys soon.